The following recording is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share Alike 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see www.ontherock.org.za and www.creativecommons.org.
Love is pain, I hear you say. Love is a cruel and a bitter way of paying you back for all of the faith that you ever had in your brain. Love doesn't share itself with the world. Love is suspicious. Love is needy. Love is fearful. Love is greedy. My friends, there is no great love without great jealousy. Too much love will kill you. Just as sure as not at all, it'll betray the power that's in you, make you plead and scream and crawl, and the pain will make you crazy. You're a victim of your crime. Too much love will kill you every time. Those were three secular perspectives on love. Secular just means that it doesn't have to do with religion, it is just in the world. The first one is from a song by Sting called A Brand New Day. The second was a quote from one of the Futurama movies. And the third one, of course, was from the song by Queen, Too Much Love Will Kill You. They're very different from what we just read in 1 Corinthians 13. These quotations are all about love, but we wouldn't call them love songs. But the fact remains that they are about love. But something inside of us resists in acknowledging that. We want to say, no, that's not what love is. Love is something wonderful. It's more like something that we read in the passage. Tonight I want to talk about what love is. Specifically, I want to talk what it looks like when love goes wrong, why it goes wrong, and lastly, what it should look like. But before I begin, I just need to make one thing very clear. Tonight I'm talking about love, but what do I mean by that? What do I mean by love? By love, I mean any meaningful, committed, purposeful relationship which you have with another person. So when I talk about love tonight, I'm referring to husbands and wives, to boyfriends and girlfriends, to brothers and sisters, parents and children, grandparents, grandchildren, best friends, normal friends, church family, neighbors, anywhere where you have someone significant in your life. What I'm not talking about are casual sexual encounters. It has become fashionable to say making love, but taking sex for granted is not love. In a couple of weeks, we'll be talking more about that topic, but for now, I just need you to understand that when I talk about love, I mean any committed relationship that you might be in, and it might not necessarily be romantic. So for my first point, I want to come back to the quotes with which I started. As I said, there is something inside of us which wants to say that that is not what love should look like. Love has to be this noble and happy thing that makes us feel good on the inside, like we're floating on clouds. But I want to show you tonight that the Bible largely agrees with these quotes. The Bible affirms that love does, can, and does go wrong, and that when it goes wrong, there are lots of emotions associated, which we would not normally expect. This shows how important love is, and that when love goes wrong, we should do everything in our power to restore it. Now, I'm going to run through a few examples that we have in the Bible of love gone wrong. I'm going to try and run through these fairly quickly, so I'm not going to expect you to turn to each passage in the Bible. We're going to have it up on the screen. If you can, please make a note of them so that you can go home and check that I'm not taking them out of context or lying or something like that. So the first one, let's have the first one come up. Love is jealous. God is a very jealous God. And that is a very biblical thing to say. He is jealous that his creation, which he loves, would stop loving him and chase after false gods. And so sometimes in human relationships, it is good and right to be jealous. There is such a thing as good jealousy. Of course, there is such a thing as bad jealousy as well. I'm not going to go in on this now, but for now I want you to know that love can be jealous. Let's have the next one. Love can be fearful. That might be a little bit small to read, but that's okay. The book Song of Solomon is one long love poem. It is between a woman, between a girl and her beloved, and they are singing to each other in this love poem. And in this passage, the girl is sleeping and she's dreaming. She dreams that her beloved comes in the dead of the night and knocks on her door, and he says, "Please let me in." And at first she's like, "Are you crazy? Do you know what time it is? Why aren't you at home?" Eventually she gets up and she opens up the door, but then he isn't there. And she becomes a little bit worried, so she goes out into the dark streets and she looks for him. And as she's looking for him, she finds this group of men who are supposed to help her. She's supposed to be able to trust and rely on them, and they're supposed to help her find her beloved. But then they end up molesting her. And then she wakes up. She was having a nightmare. What this dream tells her is that when her beloved is away from her, she is afraid and she is vulnerable. Next one, please. Love is hard work. In this story, Jacob had traveled to a faraway land, and there he saw this beautiful girl, and they fell in love with each other. And this girl, Rachel, her dad said that they can marry if he worked for him for 7 years. And so he worked, quite literally hard work, 7 years. And then the day came that he was supposed to marry Rachel. But Rachel's dad tricked Jacob. And Jacob ended up marrying Rachel's sister, who's called Leah. And Jacob was very upset about this because he was in love with Rachel, but not with Leah. And so he had to work another 7 years to win Rachel. But he was still married to Leah, but he wasn't in love with Leah, even though she was in love with him. And so that was painful for her to have to live through. Next one, please. Those who are parents here will know what it feels like to discipline their children. They will understand that it's not a pleasant thing to do. Your child ends up feeling hurt and maybe being angry, and you don't want to cause that to your child. But sometimes it is necessary for them to grow up and develop healthily. If you don't discipline your children, then over the long period of time, they're going to grow up believing the wrong kinds of things, and it's going to cause them greater damage. You end up showing greater love by disciplining them now than not doing it. That is why this passage in Proverbs says that the father disciplines the son in whom he delights. The parent wants their child to be better, to be stronger, more loving, careful and thoughtful, all while already being so proud and loving them. And because parents want to encourage these things, sometimes it is necessary to exercise discipline. This passage also tells us that God sometimes disciplines us in this way, and we need to recognize that. We need to recognize that we're not being punished. He's not angry with us and punishing us for that, but that He's disciplining us so that in the long term we will understand life better. Next one, please. Sacrificial. The most famous verse in the Bible that we also had in our quiz. Jesus gave up His place in heaven to come down to earth, ultimately to die, so that our sins could be forgiven. That is the example which He gave us. And He sacrificed a great deal to do this. It was more than a mere inconvenience. It was more than being interrupted watching your TV program when your mom or your wife asks to go do the dishes. But let's be honest, giving up things isn't nice to do. It's uncomfortable. But love is considering the needs of others above your wants. Next slide, please. Painful. God commanded the prophet Hosea to marry a prostitute. He did this because God wanted Hosea to understand what he, God, felt like. The people of Israel did not love God, and they kept on worshiping idols and false gods. When the Israelites did this, God became angry, but not before He became deeply, deeply hurt. God wanted Hosea to lie in bed at night and to wonder if his wife is going to be coming home that night. He wanted to walk beside his wife and then see his wife making eyes at another man. He wanted him to feel that sadness and that hurt and abandonment so that Hosea could understand why God was being angry. God was angry because he was hurt by the people being unfaithful, and he felt hurt because he loved the Israelites. The hurt was a direct consequence of the love. Next slide, please. Malachi. The whole book of Malachi is God giving the Israelites a letter. It's not a letter of divorce, but it is a letter of separation. God says to Israel, "You have not loved me." Then Israel says back, incredulously, "How have we done that?" This happens over and over in the book, and each time God exposes their false motives and their empty love. Eventually, God tells His people that He's going to go away. He's going to go away for a while. They're going to look for Him, but He won't be coming home at the end of the day. His side of the bed is going to be empty. It's just on the nightstand, there's going to be this letter that He's leaving behind for them. But He promises that one day He will come back. And when He does, He will restore their broken relationship. And we know that He eventually did do that hundreds of years later in the person of Jesus Christ. So that's it for my first point. My second point, why love goes wrong, is going to be very brief. Much can be said about this, but I'm just going to say that it is because we have rejected God. God made and designed us to be in a relationship with Him. But because He gave us free will, we chose to deviate from that design and that purpose. We chose to push God out of the picture and to look for knowledge elsewhere. We chose to say to God, "Thank you, God. But no, thank you. I'm going to figure out how to love all on my own. I'm going to focus on my needs and my wants rather than those of others. I don't know everything like you do, so I'm going to make assumptions about what other people think and what they feel. I'm going to set unrealistic expectations of other people. And then I'm going to call that love." We fail to love other people as we should because we are prideful. being prideful that we think that we are more important than other people, than anyone or anything else. It means that our needs and our wants are more important to us than the needs and the wants of other people. It also makes us think that we know more than we really do. And so we end up being happy and content to work with an incomplete picture of another person. And I can say these things very openly and honestly to you, because I have experienced this myself. In fact, every day I struggle with loving people as I should. Most days I fail. There is a reason why I can say these things and be honest about them. And that is because I'm not without hope. And now we come to my last point, which we shall look at tonight, and that is, what should love look like? Please turn back to 1 Corinthians 13. It gives us a good model of what love is. But I want us to look at that passage now through the lens of everything that I've said so far this night. So, starting at verse 4. Love is patient. But why would it be necessary to be patient if something isn't frustrating us? Think about that for a while. Love is kind. Love does not envy, so it is content with what it has and does not seek anything or anyone else to feed the self. Love does not boast, so it is content with what it has, no less, no more. Love is not proud, there's that word again. It is not self-seeking. Even though I really don't want to get out of my comfort zone and give up my goals and aspirations, it is not easily angered. Even though the person that I love has made me angry and will do so again. It keeps no records of wrongs, so that I cannot use something against the person that I love for my own gain at some later point. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Because if I am not being truthful with the person that I love, I am being evil. It always protects, even though I'm afraid. Always trusts, even though my trust has been broken before. Always hopes, because even though I sometimes feel hopeless, Jesus loved me before I loved him, and he enables me to love others. It always perseveres, even though it is not going like I imagined, and I don't feel like I have the energy to carry on now, and I am ready to give up. And so here's what I perceive love to be. Love is other person-centered. That other person can be another human being, or it can be God. You hold no expectations of what you can get in return. You only think about and work towards the better of the other person. From your perspective, love is an incredibly one-sided thing. And this thought that love is one-sided is incredible when you think back to God's letter in Malachi. Because at that time, God said, "You have stopped loving me, but I don't need you to love me, because my duty is to love you irrespective of what I get out of it." That is where the astonishing miracle comes in, from being in a loving two-way relationship. You wake up one morning and there is this person, and this person is sacrificing for you. They're looking out for you. They're putting you above themselves. Now, we're not called to only seek out these two-way relationships. Jesus commanded us that we should love everyone, irrespective if they love us back or not. But when someone does love you back, man, you are put to shame. Because if you empty yourself of your pride, if you take that pride and you lay it at the cross on which Jesus died, then you realize that you don't deserve what you're getting. And so you want to give the other person more. And then by God's grace, the cycle continues. I'm going to begin wrapping up. I started with song quotes, so I want to give another one now. In his song, Atlantic City, Bruce Springsteen sings about a guy who just cannot get ahead in life. There's always something putting him down or holding him back. Now, he tries his best, and in the process he makes some serious mistakes. And those mistakes don't just affect him, it also affects his wife, the woman in his life. And at one point in the song he says, "Our love may have died, our love may be cold, but with you forever I will stay." I don't think that their love is dead or cold. Their being in love, which is a feeling and not the same as loving someone, that may have grown old. But I think he still loves her very much. He is willing to give up anything and everything for her. And he will keep on trying, no matter what they feel and in that one moment. And this is not a very fashionable thing to say today. If someone bothers or inconveniences you, you are supposed to call it quits. People get offended when you put in the effort because it robs yourself and you are supposed to be selfish. People will tell you, you've got to look out for number one. You've got to look out for yourself. But this is exactly what we are called to do in our love relationships. Now, don't get me wrong. You can still love someone. Don't get me wrong. If you are in an abusive relationship, then you need to get out. You can still love someone and work towards their well-being without being romantically tied up to that person. I need you to understand this clearly. You get that point? Okay. If you've got some doubts, come chat to me afterwards. Some of you here tonight will understand this love very well. You know its sacrifices and how much you have had to have poured out of yourself for someone else. And maybe you didn't get it back. And what you're doing is right. You are loving in the way which you should. Now, me saying that isn't going to make you feel better. I get that. But what I do want to say is that even if you feel like you are alone, you're not. You have a Father in heaven who knows you better than you do yourself, and he sees everything. Jacob's wife, Leah, was not loved, but God blessed her greatly. He loved her even though Jacob didn't. And I guarantee you that most of the time, you, in your acts of love, you're putting a smile on God's face. And one day you will be reunited with him, and he will be so proud of you. And you will be loved back more than you can imagine. And we need to continue loving. We can't just give up if we've been hurt before. There's another quote from C.S. Lewis which I want to share. "To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything, and your heart will be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give it to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it carefully around with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in a casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable. impenetrable, irredeemable. To love is to be vulnerable. Now you might be sitting here and you might be asking, but how can I love so perfectly? How can I give up any selfishness and just always be perfectly 100% other person focused? And the answer is that you cannot. We will always fall short of this ideal. You can never know someone as perfectly as God knows them. So even if you try, you don't know everything. And that is why we have Jesus. Jesus showed us how we should love, that we should forgive if we get hurt, and that we must repent if we end up doing the wrong thing or hurting someone else. And that is okay. We will learn and we will grow as we grow along. The cross will always be there. And when we are reunited with Jesus, then we'll be able to love perfectly. The last group here tonight might have been blessed with having loving relationships in their lives. They might be loving other people back. And it's not always easy. Mistakes are made, but at the end of the day, things mostly work out. But something is still missing. And that something may very well be the love for God. God made you to know Him, and if you do not, then you are incomplete. God made you, you are incomplete in your knowledge, and incomplete in your hope, and incomplete in your love. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you can't love without God. I'm sure that you do have lots of love in your life, and I'm thankful for that, and I'm grateful for that, because you're busy showing love to other people who are God's creation and who deserves love, just like you do. But what I'm saying is that God makes love complete. And I didn't come up with this on my own. No one came and told me this so much in so many words. But from realizing how empty I am without Jesus, how without love I am, I've come to know these things. And He's still holding out for you. Why don't you make His day and turn this one-way relationship that exists at the moment into a two-way relationship? Please bow with me. Lord God, thank You very much for this encouragement. Thank You for the cross. Thank You for Jesus, who has loved us perfectly in a way that we cannot even imagine. Thank You that we can always have the cross in front of us to look forward to, and that will always be our inspiration to love more, to empty ourselves more, and fill ourselves more with You. And thank You for those relationships where we get something back, where we have someone else in our lives, where they're reflecting Your love onto us. Thank You so much for that. Please be with us as we go out from here. Help us to love in the way that we should. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.